today on Real Radio.
If you don't read it, you're not going to have it in you. And if you don't have it in you, you can't give it to anybody. And you say, Jack, that's for preachers, man. That's for guys like you. And that's for Billy Graham. And what do I need this for? Because the scripture says that we ought to be giving people the answers. And can you?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is back in Caesarea, ready to go to Rome for trial and for the end of his mission. In Part 1 of Paul's Great Defense from Acts chapters 25 and 26, Paul's testimony in front of a crowd of thousands, including King Herod Agrippa, brought all of mankind on equal ground before God, and his account of coming to Jesus Christ told of Jesus being the Messiah that they had always longed for. This outraged the people, but didn't deter Peter from sharing the gospel. Still, in Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 32, Paul is interrupted with shouts of how his great learning was driving him insane. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us to ask ourselves if we really are a Christian, and has believing in Jesus Christ really changed us? Like Paul, we need to give an answer for our faith in Christ. Jesus taught by example, not just by talking about it. We have to be convinced ourselves that what the Scriptures say is true, and what Jesus did for us was real. And now, continuing his lesson called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What is the gospel purpose? You ever wonder what that is? You know, what's the purpose of the gospel? Why do I need to know it? Why should I be able to give it? And as a Christian, what is it that I believe? Verse 18 says, the first part, telling us why the message was given, it says, first of all, number one, to open their eyes. Lord willing, that's what might happen to us this morning, that our eyes will be opened. But verse 18 says, number one, to open their eyes, the gospel's given. Look at number two. Keep reading in verse 18. In order to, number two, turn them from darkness to light. That means there needs to be a change in every person's life, from darkness to light. Number three, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may, number four, receive forgiveness of sins. Don't you want that? Isn't that a great thing? Number five, to receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by having faith in Christ. Wow. Why is this the gospel? Why is this the point? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says that every person born into the world, every one of us, I don't care who you are, what color you are, how old you are, every person born into the world, the Bible says, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 4, has been blinded to spiritual truth by the devil. It says so. It says right there that the God of this world, and it's a little g, the ruler of this age, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. So you may think that you're not a believer this morning just because you think you're smarter than everybody else. But the truth is, your thinking is upside down. You and I have been born into the world S-I-N positive. And we will be S-I-N positive until Christ comes in and cleans out our hearts. And it's done by the Lord and by Him alone. And so we either have hope in what we can produce for God and do for Him, or do we have hope in Christ, what He's done for us? Now, I've got to tell you, especially those who are visiting, normally in these messages at this church, you're going to hear always about what God's done for us. Because that's the bottom line. But today, you're going to hear about your response as a believer, what we should be doing. And we're going to get into it right now. To give the message Paul's giving with the effect that Paul's giving, we need to know God. That's true. And how do we do that? Three ways. Jot them down. Jot them down. Three things. Number one, we need to communicate to God in prayer. It's obvious. We need to communicate to God in prayer. Prayer is where we begin. Every one of us came to know Jesus Christ at some point in time in our lives by saying, Lord Jesus, calling out on His name. The Bible says it's calling out upon his name that saves us, Romans 10. In Acts chapter 13. We call out to him. We pray. And we just pray. You know, we just talk. Isn't it funny? You be with some people and we're talking. Hey, how you doing? Great. How you doing? And fine. And let's pray. And then you bow your head and you pray and then they pray. And it's, oh, God, I just got on. And they're like shaking. It's like, man, what's going on? Prayer is to just talk with God. And we don't talk to God, you know, like we're on an electric football field, you know, I don't know why people do that, but maybe it's more spiritual or something. I don't know. Maybe God talks like that, and we've never heard him. I don't know. But you just talk to him. Hi, God, I love you today. Lead me, guide me, help me. I want to follow you in Jesus' name, amen. And talk to him. He wants to talk to you. Second thing to having a strong, victorious Christian life, a productive life, a powerful life, is having the Word of God in us. That is basically, of course, Jesus Christ in the sense of the Word, knowing the Word. The Word will cause us to run well this race, knowing the Word. And that's why Paul is giving and able to give a great defense. He knows the Word. The third thing is fellowship with Christians. Yes, you can go out to dinner with the world. You can go out this with the world. You can do that with the world. But the point is, you need to spend more time with Christians in fellowship to get charged up. Or what I would say for my life, fellowship for me really gets me oiled up. There's nothing worse than to sit in an office all week long. I mean, I can't stand it. It's a real discipline for me to have to do. I like to be around people. I like fellowship. I'm an addict for fellowship. I love it. So oftentimes, we'll start planning a vacation. You know what we wind up doing? In fact, we've been with you guys. Want to go to Utah? Let's go. And we go camping. Or we'll go to Lake Tahoe or something. The fellowship does me good. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, encourages us to fellowship. We talk to God. We're in the Word. We have fellowship with other believers. And that prayer energizes us like a battery. The Word of God causes us to run like gasoline. And the fellowship causes us to be like maybe oiled. And who on earth would take their car out of the garage without a battery? It's not going to happen. With no gas in it and no oil in it. And expect it to run. And run well. But we need to be doing this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. The scripture tells us there that we need to be adding to our faith gentleness, control, and all of these things that are listed there in that wonderful description. And then he goes on to say in verse 8 that if you have all of these things listed by the power of God working in your life, I like to underline that part, that you will never become unfruitful as a Christian. You will prosper as a believer. You will not be victimized and vandalized. You'll be victorious. Paul was able to defend his faith because he was a student of the Word, and he himself penned 2 Timothy 2:15. He's the one who said, study, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't read it, you're not going to have it in you. And if you don't have it in you, you can't give it to anybody. And you say, Jack, that's for preachers, man. That's for guys like you. And that's for Billy Graham. And what do I need this for? Because the scripture says that we ought to be giving people the answers. And can you? Can I? And this is where the Lord took me to task. Am I able to give an answer? As believers, listen. You in these walls, you can say that you're a Christian, and I want to ask you, that's great, but when somebody knocks on your door next Saturday or Tuesday, and they say, why are you a Christian? That's something I love to do. When somebody knocks on my door, I'm going to ask them, why are you a Mormon? The greatest question you can ask anybody in the world is why. You think just three-year-olds did that, didn't you? It's the greatest question you can ask in the whole world. Why? I believe this. Why? When someone knocks on your door, you open the door and they'll say, hi, we're from the Watchtower. Why? Why? Ask them. Nobody asks why anymore. In the same token, if somebody knocks on your door and you say, I'm a Christian, listen, and they say, why? What is the answer you're going to give them? Can you give them an answer? Is it biblical? Well, my grandmother was. That, doesn't count. I was born in the church. Doesn't count. Why are you a Christian? What answers can you give them? And are we Christians? Am I a Christian? And you might say, well, you're the pastor. You've got to be a Christian. Oh, no. Read the book carefully. In fact, I have more strikes against me than I've got going for me. Are we Christians? And you say, Jack, why are you saying this on a Sunday morning? I mean, of course we are. Well, just play along with me for a moment. What if I repeatedly get phone calls or counseling sessions, biblical guidance meetings? And one of the first things I'll ask, and after I say this, you will not want to make appointments with me. Because you'll come in and I'll say, so what's going on? Well, this is what's going on. Okay. I'll ask, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. Oh, okay, that's great. Do you realize that when we get to know the fact that you're a Christian, I mean, 99% of the counseling's over. You want to know why? We just go to the verse that applies to your situation. Oh, great. Okay, good. Let's go over here to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And this is why you're not hearing, or God's not hearing your prayers, and you're feeling like this, nothing's happening. And then let's go to 1 John 1, 9. Oh, great. And by the way, this verse applies too. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, excuse me. I thought you just said you were a Christian. Well, I am a Christian, but I'm not going to do that. And that right there is the ejection seat for truth. Did they just lose their salvation? No, maybe they never had it, or maybe they're ignorant about the truth. And here's what I mean. A lot of us would like to stand up this morning and say, man, I'm a Christian, you better believe it. Says it on my dog tags even, Christian. Well, listen, let me give you the definition of Christian and the definition of disciple. This is important to us. It first of all says in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, about what a Christian is. It says that the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied. The dream for every ministry. Right there. Well, Acts 11:28 says, if I'm going too fast, write it down. Because time's almost up and we're a quarter of the way through. In Acts 11:26, it says, and the disciples, hey, the guys we just talked about in verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, it says that the disciples began to be called Christians first at Antioch. So you look at the description or the definition of a disciple, and this is what it means. And you can't be a Christian without being a disciple. Everybody with me? I told you before this message started that this was going to upset some of you. Okay? A student, one who learns the ways of his teacher, a follower of the leader. Christian, Greek. Christianos, a follower of Jesus Christ, an imitator of Christ. This is what it means. He who practices the teachings of Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, jot it down in your margin. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what kind of a man he is. He's like a man who built his house, and he dug down deep, and he built it on the foundation of the rock. And when the floods came in Seattle and Portland and washed them away by the torrents, the house stood firm, for it was well built upon the rock. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house without a foundation, built it upon the sand. And that same torrent came and struck that house, and it collapsed, and its destruction was absolutely complete. Jesus says, you're going to call me Christ, and you Christian, then you do the words I say. And there are people who say they're Christians, and when God says you're not to have sex with someone else's wife or husband, people go, well, it's a quench. Don't call yourself a Christian. At least admit, I'm totally backslidden, man. I'm walking away from the Lord. This is why I'm doing this. You hear what I'm saying? That's a hard thing. And that's tragic. That we have become so, so weak in the Word that we can't even distinguish anymore what is popular versus what is piety in Christ. Oh, man, come on, man. That is like ancient history. Okay, well, let's think about modern history. Extramarital sex, premarital sex. People are dying like never before in human history from sexually transmitted diseases. We're counseling. People are meeting together saying, I wish I never would have done this when I was younger. Or I wish I never would have tried. You know, never once in my office has someone come in and said, you know, I'm 35 now. And I just want to tell you, I'm so glad. I just want to tell somebody that I was totally promiscuous and was an absolute alcoholic when I was a senior, and it's just really blessed my life. People don't do it. But here's the great thing about God. If you are almost an alcoholic and you're a senior in high school or college or whatever, and you have been promiscuous, the great thing about Christ is he said, now you are clean by the washing of the word that I've spoken to you. Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you something. If you think I'm pointing at you, let me put the fingers back at me. When I was in high school, I had to do the thing. Unfortunately, I was good at sports, and I was one of the captains of the football team. So what are you supposed to do? My friend and I, good friend, he went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys. We couldn't get into the scene. And some of you went to my high school. I couldn't get into the scene. I struggled so rough with what the peer pressure group was doing that Glenn and I went and got two cans of Budweiser beer, poured them out, and poured milk inside of them, and stood at the party so we'd feel better. Hey, brother, how you doing? Great party, isn't it? You bet, man. Party down. And nobody knew there was milk in those cans. Trying to fit in. You know the feeling? No, nobody knows the feeling. This is my thing, and I'm just absolutely nuts. Jack, you are beside yourself, man. Come on. The teens maybe in the next room are listening in right now. Oh, yeah. I can relate to that. Went to a basketball game Thursday night. And I was watching the game. A great game, by the way. I was just blessed. But I was also watching some of the young people, and I was remembering. And you better thank God right now that you're not a teen. And if you know a teen, you better commit that person to prayer. I wished somebody would have stood up in my high school campus and said, hey, you know what? The Bible says no sex before marriage. The Bible says no drugs, man. It'll ruin your life. Because God wants to slap your hand and give you a bummer life? Because he wants to give you life, not some stupid, destructive, temporary buzz on sex or drugs or violence or whatever it is. And I would to God somebody would have stood up and said, hey, I'm going to give you a reason why you shouldn't go with the flow. At least I could have said to my friends and to my co-captains, I'm not going to do it because that guy said so. I had nobody. God gives us a second chance, though, thank God. I should be dead for the past that I came out of. But notice Paul's logic. He says in verse 25, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and of reason. Truth, the word means veracity, integrity, accuracy, exactness. You ought to jot it down because this gets fun. I speak the words of exactness, of accuracy. I like this. And reason. The word reason means, listen, the word means sanity. Paul, you're insane. Aha, no, not true. In fact, I speak the words of absolute sanity. Isn't that cool how he came back with the counter? Oh, no. Not only am I sane, Festus, but I speak the words of absolute accuracy. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible is 100% accurate? I don't care what grandma said. I don't care what your high school philosophy teacher might have said or your PhD friend. Ask them, tell them, you'll give them $1 million if they can find one contradiction in the Bible. I don't know whose million you're going to give them, but you're not going to have to give them any millions. That's my point. You can't find one. Well, that's not what I heard. Yeah, you know what? That's what you heard, isn't it? But that's not true. So you can either be committed to the truth and to reason, or we can wind up getting caught up in falsehood and foolish thinking, because that's exactly what this means. Truth and reason means accuracy and sanity, or you can fall for falsehood and foolish thinking, which is a lie and insanity, madness. So which one will you choose? I'm talking to the Christian this morning. Which one are you going to follow? Are we going to commit ourselves to study this book? Or do we want to play games? You don't have to go to Moscow to see people perishing. You can look outside your window. And the only thing that will rescue them is the truth of Christ. We need to keep going so we can wrap this up. I am so blessed by Paul's example because you know what? It's Jesus' example. And may all of us who know the Lord give this example. It's the style that Jesus set for us to be Christians. And aren't you glad the way Jesus taught? You know what he did? He didn't build a seminary or a cemetery. Cemetery? Seminary. Same thing. He didn't get a chalkboard and say, now, point one. Subpoint A. You know what he did? He sat the boys down on the roadside and he said, okay, stay right here. Watch. He walked over and he witnessed to the rich young ruler. Now, he goes back and he says, you see that? Come on, let's go over here. He showed them. Jesus taught by doing. We do not teach anyone. Listen, teachers. We don't teach anybody what we truly want to by just regurgitating the book in front of them. We get down and we show them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2. Thanks for listening. Many people who claim to be a Christian are trying to live the life without knowing how to. Don't let that be you. Learn God's way, and then follow His lead. Paul's Great Defense, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. One way to get lots of good instruction and have quality Christian resources at your fingertips is to download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. All of our Real Life media presentations are there, along with devotions from Pastor Jack, how to know God as your personal Savior, and how that applies to your life, all that, and you'll get immediate access to Pastor Jack's Facebook channel. And when you tap on what's called the Tools and Resources tab, you can get what we like to call Real Life Basics. Some of our video titles include What is a Christian? How to Grow in Christ? What if I sin? There are also videos on how I can share what Christ has done for me, the Holy Spirit, our helper, the Bible, how can I understand it, and a lot more. We trust that the resources this app makes available will be incredibly valuable and a part of your Christian walk. You've heard us say many times on our Real Radio program that it's our hope that through Jesus Christ you will know real life. We really believe that. We're not just saying it. The Real Life mobile app is available on the App Store, Android Market, and on Windows Phone Store. We've also made it available for a download at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.